people telling us all these exciting things. So the recording has now started. Sorry, keep going. You're just talking about joining BNI and how that's going.
Yes, and they have, they have criteria which they have to stick to as well in answering your calls and being efficient business people with their colleagues.
Okay.
So it's quite a good platform to be in. And just prior to that, we walked into a budget advisor's place and actually spoke to the woman there, and she said there is a niche which is not being met, and we are exactly the niche she needs to refer people to.
Awesome.
So they have just moved into their new establishment, so it's going to take them a little while before they can start forwarding people to us, because they're just getting settled back in.
Yeah.
But that was really promising. She said that they need us there because we have more time than they do with dealing with people. So,
especially with small businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Helps cash flow. Hey, one other thing about BNI, David.
Just quickly, yeah.
I don't know if Sam knows, but they have, for startups, they have a director scholarship. It's up to the director, the local director. So it's... As a startup, is half price.
Okay.
So if anyone else is looking at joining something like that, then make inquiries about that. So it'll save them a few $100 and that's all good.
There's a couple of people have got their video cameras going. I can you can turn them off because we don't need to see you if you can I turn that off. Just on the BNI, because there's been a few people that I've been communicating with about that lately. There's a guy who is running a property investment company here in Australia who will basically say that his success financially all stems back to being a customer of mine 15 or 16 years ago. I wasn't the one who actually delivered the service. My brother-in-law and I were working together at the time. And he got basically a year's service of what you guys are delivering now. And that set him up. And so he's now an expert in property investing, and he's now sort of expanding, and he's looking to have spending planners do what was done for him 15 years ago for his clients now. So a couple of you have already had contacts with him, but he and I are going to have a meeting because he wants to tell me how he uses BNI. And he said some people have got no idea. And he also said there are some BNI groups that you wouldn't want to go to. So go shopping around like Sam said she has been and suss them out, because it all depends on who's the leader of the group and the group dynamics as to whether that you'll be able to be successful with them or not. So he was kind of saying it's a great way. And he said BNI works absolutely gangbusters for him, but don't just go along to any group assuming that they're going to be the right group. So once I've had that meeting with him and sort of picked his brains about that, I will report back on anything that I learned from that meeting. So watch this space. Now, I thank you for that, Sam and Mark. Yeah, Mark, go again.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say too, we went to about 7 different networking groups and we've just signed up just the other day to one. But yeah, huge difference between them all. Some are absolutely useless from a networking side of view. We even gave them referrals and they never followed them up. So it's like, well, see you later.
Yep.
So we're just, gone. So
I think that's a really key thing that you want to work with people who are switched on and active, not people who are just wannabes but don't know how to get out of their own space.
Yeah. Sorry, I've unmuted myself. I agree with that. I've been to BNI's and given them what they wanted. They've asked for referrals back for British Aerospace, and I've given that, and then other things that I've known, and then you don't hear a thing. So, yeah, I didn't join that group, needless to say.
Yeah. So, that's how the world is, isn't it? There's people that deliver and there's people that kind of think about it. So,
yeah, agreed.
So even a self-help kind of network where they're all there to help each other, It all comes down to the quality of the leadership and the quality of the people in the group. So So, all right. So that's certainly a topic for future discussion. Heather, welcome. Have you just gone to say hello because I haven't heard you speak yet?
Yeah, sorry, I came in a bit late.
That's fine. It's all, your mic's working. That's good. I just wanted to check that. Marlene, yep. Same. I'll just unmute you just so I can check if you're online. Hello, Marlene.
Oh, David. Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. My internet connection is a little unstable today, so you're sort of cutting in and out on me, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure we could hear you if you did want to speak, so I'll just mute you again. All right. I've got a few topics today. Jen won't be with us. She's doing other stuff. But it was funny. Just after the last monthly webinar, I had two support calls on the same day within about an hour of each other on exactly the same topic. So I figured if, and they were both from spending planners who were asking me a question that clearly I figured they would know, but now understand that I need to give more information. So that's on our agenda for today. And that's to do with the actuals, recording of actuals within the software. There's also a question come up this week from Sam, and I'm sure she isn't the only person who would have this question, to do with what happens when a customer decides that they don't want to use the software anymore, as opposed to if they don't want to use your service anymore. So what's the procedure? Also, I created a new video this week, which we'll have a look at and discuss how you can use it. It's if you've been keeping up to date with the Business Center, you will have realized that earlier in the year we improved the Business Center. Basically, Kathy and Jenny spent a lot of time looking at it, and they've made it so well laid out now and so logical. If you had a client, all you need to do is just go to the Business Center and pull the email and send it. Go to the Business Center, pull the next email and send it. Unless, of course, you've customized them yourself. So that wouldn't work for you. But step eight, and you should all know step seven is the one that comes before step eight. And I've got a lollipop here for anybody who can tell me what step seven is. Too late, I've eaten the lollipop. Hopefully you all know step seven is the big one. That's where the spending plan is all put together. So step eight is where you start the monitoring phase. And if you have had a look, you'll notice that there is a very long email that goes out to the client saying, now that we've got your spending plan, this is what happens next. And it's like three pages. And so I decided that it was probably something that needed to be an audio visual rather than just an email. So I've almost taken that word for word, that email, and turned it into a video. So we'll have a look at that. That'll get us pretty much underway, and if there might be other things come up. So first of all, let's go back to the what happens when somebody wants to stop using the software. Now, I know that there are people who have had customers who basically finished up with them at the end of their contract. For whatever reason, they just didn't see the magic in what was happening. And so it was basically, okay, I'm out of here, all done. They need to give you their 30 days notice so that you can stop the payments that you had set up. And in most cases, when that's happened, you guys have contacted me and said this client's no longer continuing. But when the client signs up, they actually receive an email, and I've tweaked it a little bit this morning to make it more clear. Thank you, Sam, for your input. I'll just bring it up on the screen and I'll share my screen so that you can see the email that they get. It will be, which one? Probably this one. No, this one. Okay, so you should be able to see that. Speak up if you can't. So this is the email I get when you set up their payment, because remember, you go in and actually set up their payments, their monthly subscription. So it says, hi, Bob, Mary, John, whoever. Just a quick email to let you know that a regular monthly subscription has been set up to give you ongoing access to the best spending planner application on the planet. It might be the only one, but it's definitely the best. payments will appear on your nominated credit card account in the name of JDAC Proprietary Limited as trustee for the Bonnie Trust. So if they've read this email, they shouldn't be asking, who's this I'm paying money to? You'll sign in a username or your email address and the temporary password given to you by your spending planner. And here's the website you need to go to sign in and change your password, so on. Then it talks about the support line, the support number. A little bit of a PR. Thousands of people have changed their life using this system, so please make sure you take it seriously. You can continue to use this software for as long as you like beyond any agreement you might have with your spending planner, which is obviously what we're all hoping they will do, because that gives us all ongoing revenue stream. And the last bit there, changing payment details. Each month you'll receive a receipt for your payment via email. Please email accounts@spendingplanner.com.au. Notice that spendingplanner.com.au, not spendingplannersinstitute.com. So it's actually the website, the same as the website that they're logging into the application. So it's just accounts@spendingplanner.com.au. Requesting assistance if you ever need to change your payment details. And should you ever wish to discontinue access to the Spending Planner software after any initial contract you may have entered into with your Spending Planner, you should give 30 days notice by also emailing accounts@spendingplanner.com.au. So that's the email that they get. So, you know, I don't expect people are going to remember that email 2 years down the track. So it is quite likely that they will come to you. But you need to make sure that you know that that's what the procedure is, so that you can guide them in that direction, should they come to you. Any questions about that? Well, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I've got a question, David.
Yes, Sam?
Yeah, I think that I put in my email, would it be your intention to tell the spending planners that their clients have ceased the software?
Okay, good question. So there's some scenarios. Like it is possible that your spending planner could fall out of love with you but still want to keep you in the system and not want to talk to you. So they may not ever want to contact you to cancel me, but that's not the question that you asked. But that's why I've made them come directly to me rather than going to you guys. Feasibly, you could have people that you signed up and got them started, and 10 years from now, they could still be paying their monthly subscription and forgotten who you were. Okay? But yeah, to answer your question... How could they... True.
Good point. Well presented.
But to answer your question, every one of you guys, when you became part of the Spending Planners Institute, you would have received an email that asked you to supply your PayPal details. And it gave you a login to the system that tracks all of the payments. So that's where you go if you want to ever go and see who's paid and who hasn't paid and how many people are paying and how much you earned last month and how much is coming to you next month, blah, blah, blah.
Has that got the names on it, David?
Sorry?
Has that got names of clients on it?
I don't think so. No.
My question, because I've sort of tried to keep track of my clients and I can't, because I don't know when it says I've got seven clients, I don't know which seven it is at the beginning, you know, when I'm a bit older. So
I don't think there would be any breach of confidentiality. I'm just thinking about privacy laws, whether I'm quite sure I'd be allowed to legally tell you if someone had discontinued. So I was just thinking out loud. I think there would be no problem there. So I can set up a system to do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that would be good, yeah.
All right, I'll just make them mention.
Not now, but when we've all got hundreds of clients, I think it'll be good if they all start dropping off and our commission starts going down, you know, and we're going, which ones are out and which, you know, particularly if we've got mail shops and things and we don't want to bug people who are no longer part of the team sort of thing, you know what I mean?
Yep. I'll see if I can do that automatically. Obviously, we'll need to set it up as an automatic thing at some point in time.
Yeah.
But I'll make a note here and there. And highlight that so I don't miss it.
Okay. I'll unmute myself now.
Good point. Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Was there any other questions about that before I move on? Alrighty. Something that I didn't mention earlier, but I'll just throw it in here now. For about the last month, Nick, who's our software developer, has been trying without success to upload the next update of our software. It's a major rewrite. And everything we have tried for the first couple of weeks, he thought it was something that he was doing wrong and just needed to teach himself what was. About 2 weeks ago, we came to the conclusion that everything was right on our side of the things. So we went to IBM, who provide the system that we use, and said, can you please help us? A few emails went backwards and forwards, and they eventually said, we think this might be a problem at our end. We'll have to look into this. And then a couple of days later, when they hadn't responded to us, we went back to them, and then they went, oh, no, that wasn't right. No, you've just got to solve the problem. So we've been going round in circles, and we've come to the conclusion that if they are unable to help us because we're quite sure we've got everything right, we will abandon IBM and set up our own server and host the whole thing ourselves. So, because we are so frustrated, because this you should have had it in your hands already. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because as soon as that goes live, every one of your clients plus you, the first time you go to log in, it will pop up with a thing and say, terms and conditions and privacy policy, you need to agree to them before you can continue. Because if you haven't thought about it, there are no terms and conditions or anything like that at the moment. People just log in and use the software. So when that next version goes live, and in there, it will talk about how to cancel as well. So, all right. So just so you know, that's where we're up to. So next topic. Okay, so I had two people call me about exactly the same question on the one day to do with actuals. So you probably all know that I am definitely not someone who wants to get my clients or get you to encourage your clients to keep financial records, because I believe it's almost a total waste of time. But I know that there are OCD people out there who just can't let go of that. They feel like they've got to keep records, otherwise there'll be something missing in the universe. So within the software, we have built in actuals, which are totally disconnected. They are unreal. I'm just going to mute everybody. You can unmute yourself if you need to. So there's this bucket, I'll call it. So for every account that you have a spending plan where you can look into the future for, so your FFFI and your bills account and your credit card and any savings accounts, any account at all that you've got that you can look into the future for, there is also another bucket where you can record any transactions historically. But there is absolutely no connection between those two. So if you put something into your actuals, it has no impact on the plan. It won't change any of the transactions in the plan, any of the due dates, any of the amounts. It has got nothing at all to do with what you've got in your list of expenses going forwards. So, yes, when you go and do the payments due button and send transactions off to the actuals, you're feeding them into that bucket from the plan, but there's no relationship backwards from the actuals to the plan. So if you're one of these people, or if you've got clients who just love keeping records and they want to put in everything that their plan has got, plus everything else that they spent money on that wasn't part of the plan, they can go and do that to their heart's content. And if they want to reconcile it in some way and make sure it matches up with their bank statements, they're quite welcome to do all of that stuff. But it has absolutely nothing to do with the forward-looking plan whatsoever. And here is the thing that some of you will find confusing. It is quite feasible that the end balance, like today's balance on your actuals, will not be the same as today's balance on the plan. And I have had people who can't understand why. And the easiest way for me to explain it would be, if you had a client that you had just set up on a new plan, and they had all of their transactions listed and all of their projections for where they were going to be every day for the next year. And on the very first payday, they got some extra overtime and there was a $200 bonus in their pay packet. That wasn't part of the plan, and we're not going to change the plan because that happened. It was just a one-off, happy Christmas, happy birthday, something nice, you did some overtime, whatever, and it was a little extra that came into your life. It's not going to happen again that you know of. It's not part of the plan going forwards. It just happened. So when you go to your actuals and you pass your this week's pay into your actuals and you change the amount and increase it by the $200 or whatever, the actuals balance will be $200 more than the plan balance. And I've had many conversations with people who get confused about that. It's exactly what is supposed to happen, because that's why you can say to somebody, you know, if you pick up your phone and log into your internet banking, do you realize there's a number missing? What's the number? It's the number that says where you need to be today, beside the number that says where you are today. And just in saying that, you are basically acknowledging to people that where you are today and where you need to be today may not be the same number. So when your actuals don't show the same balance for today as your plan, that's perfectly okay. Of course, what we want to see is that the plan balance is less than the actual balance, which means that your client is in a happy place, they've got too much money, and if something unexpected happens, they've got a head start on it. Are there any questions about that, or have I made sense of it? If you want to speak, you will have to click on your microphone to unmute yourself, or you could put your hand up.
David.
Sam.
I do have a couple of those clients that love the actuals.
Yep.
I must admit, though, as I go on, because I've been doing this over 12 months now, as we know, the ones that used to use the actuals end up not using them. So I think that, and I tell that my clients, and then they don't want to use the actuals. So, yeah, because they find it too hard and too consuming, and it's all, you know, they like to just shift the plan along.
Yep.
That's just my...
It's good because, I've been running seminars and things for years, and I'd have people come up to me and say, oh, you know, I got a notebook and I write down everything I spend my money on. And I'm sure they would be expecting me, having been the speaker on stage, to have said to them, oh, wow, that's so amazing. That's so good that you're doing that.
Yeah.
And instead, I would say to them, so why are you wasting your time doing that? And they'd look at me like, you weren't supposed to cook me. You were supposed to praise me. You know, like,
yeah.
I just, because it is such a waste of time. Unless it's, you've got to keep records for the tax man. You know, it happened.
Yeah.
But for those people that want to do it, let them do it. Show them how to do it. And like you say, Sam, a lot of them eventually work out it's a waste of time because there's actually something better looking forwards.
Yeah, and the other thing is you either do them or you don't. You can't half do them and half not, can you? Next week I'm going to do the actuals and next week I'm not, because it doesn't work.
Exactly. And that's where they get to the realization of it's tedious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just painful.
Yeah, I agree. Mean,
you could pass all of the transactions across to actuals and never reconcile it, but then it's just a nothing. It's just a whole bunch of numbers that mean nothing. But I put it there because so many people said to me, we want to be able to, you know, record what was in the plan when after it happened. And in the end, I gave up trying to explain to people why that's a waste of time, and I just gave it to them anyway. And so now they're working it out for themselves.
Yeah.
Cool. Any other comments, questions, whatever about that?
I would have thought, Stephanie here, I would have thought it would be helpful for tax time.
That's what you said. If you've got to keep records for tax, I didn't say it's bad luck, but it is bad luck.
You've got no choice, though.
That's right. You don't have a choice, but Spending Planner was never designed to be that. You'd need to have a subscription with MYOB or QuickBooks or Xero or have a spreadsheet or some other system where maybe you can download your bank into that and do that.
I do have my own spreadsheet, but I can't download the bank details into it. And you can't download the bank details even into your thing, can you, either?
No. And every time somebody asks me if it can do that, I just feel like tearing my hair out, because why would you want to do that? You've just got this influx of numbers and dates and it's just, then you've got the task of going, well, what was that? And I mean, yeah, there's software that learns, like MyOb, for example, that we use. It learns that last time you saw this bond, you said that was rent. So, okay, we'll make it rent this time. But it just tells me when someone asks that question that they have this belief that looking backwards at historical information is somehow going to help them in the future. And as spending planners, we've all learned that looking backwards is not where the power is. It's looking forwards. And my closing comment on this would be, I challenge you to ask any one of your clients that asked that question about the actuals, you know, can it keep records for my actuals? I would say to them, well, yes, it can, but it's not focused on that. Why do you want to do that? Are you hoping to repeat last year next year, or do you want next year to look different than last year? I've yet to meet anybody that wants next year to look like last year, except for those people that won Lotto.
David, can I put my 10 bobs worth in?
You certainly can, Barry.
For those people who need tax records, from my accounting background, I'm very wary of saying to people, unless they have bookkeeping knowledge, to use programs such as MyOb and QuickBooks. They're good programs, I don't underestimate them.
Yeah.
If people need to keep something, I usually tell them to go to a program called Cashflow Manager.
Yeah.
Which is just a spreadsheet, but behind the scenes, it does things for you. And the only condition is if they have an accountant, they need to ask the accountant, you know, what package he uses. And Cashflow Manager will change the way it records things that fit in with the accountant. But Cashflow Manager requires no knowledge of bookkeeping. So I've seen so many people who mess up QuickBooks, Xero, MyOb, because they don't have any knowledge of it.
Yeah. It's too easy to get into trouble and cause hours and hours worth of repair damage.
That's right.
Yep. Thank you. That's a great tip. So it's called Cashflow Manager.
That's right. It's an Australian program designed by an accountant in Adelaide.
Awesome. Thank you for that tip. So there you go. You heard it first on the monthly webinar. All righty. Any other questions about that before we move on? Okay, so I'm going to do a screen share again, and I hope that the sound will come through as well, because I'm going to now move on to this step 8, the first email that goes out after a client has completed step 7, which is where they create their spending plan. So we've got this 3 page email, which I've simplified for you. So I'm going to show that for you now. And then we can have a chat about that if there's any questions or whatever. So let's share the screen. I don't need that. I don't need that anymore. Go to play this. Look, if you can't hear it, I need to know, because I'm assuming you can. So bell me or put your hand up or whatever, and so I know if I've got to do something. Okay.
Now your first spending plan is in place, we are entering phase 2 of your journey. You've gone to a lot of trouble to prepare a roadmap for your money, and now you're going to set out on a journey to see how closely you can follow that roadmap. So far, we've separated your money into 3 buckets. Your weekly living expenses, FFFI money, your bills account, and your cumulative savings account. Weekly living expenses. You can spend your food, fuel, fun, and incidental expenses money completely each week. When the account is empty, you simply wait till next week for more money, and if you don't spend all the money in 1 week, the remainder can transfer over to the next week and spare the bills as you like. You can use a debit card attached to this account to make your purchases throughout the week, or you can withdraw the entire week's allowance and pay cash for everything as you go. Whatever you like, it's up to you. You can't accidentally mess things up. You've separated your money into three specialized accounts, so that can't happen. Bills account. The money in your bills account is almost sacred. You must not pay any expense from here that is not on your list, unless, of course, you are ahead of your targets and you have a surplus. All non-planned spending will have to be paid for from your weekly living expense with money, no matter how tempting it is to use money from your bills account. If a bill comes in under budget, you can do what you like with the surplus money. Of course, if it comes in over budget and you're not ahead of target, you'll need to top up with money from your weekly living expenses account. So it really makes sense to leave any surplus money in place to cover shortfalls that may occur from time to time.
I'm just going to pause that for a second and see if I can make it louder. Let's see if that...
It's savings account. This account turns unpredictable expenses you can't plan for very easily into predictable regular transfers that you can plan for easily. Through these regular transfers, you build up a fund that less predictable expenses can be paid from. For example, you may have included an amount each payday to be transferred to this account for unexpected medical expenses. In the event someone in the family becomes unwell, you could pay for medication with money from this account. Of course, there is no guarantee there will always be enough money in this account when you need it. Sometimes life just exerts itself. However, if you make intelligent estimates of how much you should transfer into this account each pay, and occasionally it's not enough, then you can be grateful you had some money put aside, even if it did fall short. Whatever you do, do not treat this account like it is a cookie jar. It's there for the reasons you identified, and one day you'll be glad it is there. So let's look at how you will live with your spending plan. Where possible, you should set up automatic payments for the expenses on your list, so the total time spent on money each week will be very small. Once a week, you would simply log into your spending planner account and your online banking account at the same time. You should have a filing tray where you place your bills that arrived in the mail, so have that handy as well. From the dashboard in your spending planner account, you should see all accounts that have transactions due. There will be an orange button that says transactions due. Click this button and process all the transactions that occurred in the last week. Pay any non-automated bills your plan shows are due, and then compare your spending plan's target balances with your bank account balances. In the early days of your plan, there may be bills that need to be paid later in the week because you are close to a low point in your spending plan and you need to wait until after some money comes in the next few days. So keep an eye out for those. Schedule those payments to occur after the money arrives, or if you don't have the ability to schedule payments, or you want to be sure the money gets deposited before you make the payments, you may have to come back later in the week just to manually pay them when the funds are available. This is more likely to be an issue in the first few months of your plan and unlikely once you've caught up any shortfalls that may have existed when first starting out. That's it. It's all done for the week. You're going to get to love paying bills. Of course, there will be some fine tuning to be done for a while because it's unlikely that you will have been able to get your list absolutely perfect, but we'll do that as part of the monitoring process. Weekly check-in. Each week you will receive an email that you need to reply to. The email will simply request that you reply with the target balance for your bills account and any other accounts included in your spending plan. Beside each target balance, you should also give the actual balance for each account as of that day. So your weekly checkup might look like this. Bills account target, $3,117.51. Actual balance, $3,145.85. Happy days. Cumulative savings account target, $800. Actual balance, $600. There were $200 in medical expenses. If there has been a significant failure to stay close to your target, You need to explain why that blowout has occurred, like in the example above with the medical expenses. You already know your targets are possible because we've meticulously gone over the expenses you have prepared for and have prepared your spending plan, which is, in essence, your bank statement in advance for the journey you've chosen to travel. Now all you have to do is travel it. Anything that is not on that plan has to be paid for from surplus funds, which are now very easy to identify. Whenever you find yourself ahead of your plan targets, you have a surplus and the freedom to either spend or invest that extra money however you choose, or to just enjoy the feeling of having a safety buffer. To get ahead of your targets, you simply need to deposit more than the spending plan is asking for each week, or spend less than you plan for on as many expenses as possible each week, or a combination of both. If you've managed to be in a better position than expected, you can just feel proud of yourself for doing better than planned, or you can decide to do something with that extra money. It is a serious expectation that you should meet your planned targets now we have gone to the trouble of putting a plan in place. There will be a review after 4 weeks to see what fine-tuning might be required, because it's common that over the first few months there will be a need to make some changes to your plan, but we won't make any until we reach the 4-week review point. If you identify anything that needs changing before then, simply make a note of it and we'll include it in our fine-tuning session. That's all for now. Phase 2 of your journey has begun and it will be very exciting to see your finances grow. Bye for now.
All right, so there you have it. You saw it first on the monthly webinar. So there's a few chat things there. Probably, Scott, it would be good to explain how to record any variations. I'll just close that down. So when will I get the list of people back on the screen? And I'm just going to unmute you, Scott. Okay, can you hear me, Scott?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so let's talk. Your question was, it would be good to explain to people how to do variations. Keep in mind, there is another email that goes out 3 days after this one. So this is the first encounter. It's like, wham, there's a whole lot of information. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to have to do, blah, blah, blah. Three days later, there's another email with a video that talks about variations and how to deal with variations.
Okay, yep.
So that's covered there. But ultimately, at this point in time, you're not going to expect people, there's too much information, and you're going to have, like at that month mark, you'll go through all of those questions about how you do this and how you do that. But the next video probably does answer the question that you're asking directly.
Yeah, no worries. That's a great video. There's a lot more in that. And just, I know it's not much different to what was there, but it's just the way it's presented, just with a little bit of video with it, just speaks volumes, I think.
It's almost word for word of what that email, the step 8 email, the first one in step 8 is.
Yeah.
I just tweaked it slightly to make it more generic because it's speaking to anybody watching it rather than speaking from a planner to their client.
Yeah.
So you can decide. In fact, I've it's possibly already up. Wait till I just check. It could already be live on the Business Centre if Kathy's had a chance to do that. No, it's not there yet, but it'll probably be there later on today. So you guys will be able to access it if you go to the Business Centre and go down to Phase 2 Monitoring, Step 8. It'll be in the first, just under the first email there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take the link and use that. You can dispense with the pages and pages, or you can just a bit of both, whatever you want to do. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty much everything that I had on my plan for today. There's no rule that says we have to use up a full hour, so we've used up about 3/4. So it's really over to you guys if you've got anything you want to share, anything you want to ask, anything that I haven't said that you'd like me to say, or whatever. It's totally... Oh, sorry, I have one more thing on my list. Occasionally, I get people who ring the support line and they're trying to process the due payments, but there's one stuck at the top that won't go away, will not move for whatever reason. And 9 times out of 10, I can tell you what the reason is. Somebody has set up a transfer from one account to another account and then decided that they don't want it to be a transfer. They're just going to set it up as a payment. And so they'll go to the transaction, edit it, and change it from a transfer to a payment, but the transfer information wasn't removed. Now, this is something that we need to get smarter in with our coding so we can foolproof it. But every time, or not every, about 9 times out of 10, when someone comes to me with that problem and I go in and have a look, the clue is that it will actually say on that transaction that it is one side of two parts of a transaction. If you've ever had processed any transfers, you'll know that there are two of them and it says this is one side of two parts. And as soon as I see that, I know what's happened. It's been that it was set up as a transfer and then someone went in and changed it from a transfer and didn't remove the account details. So if that's probably, you know, a few of you have had that problem, I thought I might as well just share it so that you all know what to go looking for. If you see it, you can fix it pretty well straight away. And occasionally there'll be a transaction that I have no idea why it got stuck. And what I do in that case is I say, let's delete it and put it back in again. So that if it's groceries or car registration or whatever, just note down the date and the amount in the description, delete the transaction, and then put it back in. And that solves the problem. You know, obviously, I doubt that there is any perfect software anywhere on the planet. I'm sure if you go and did a search on Google for Microsoft fixes or Microsoft faults, you would find that there are thousands and thousands of things online about how to get around problems. It's just the nature of software and it's forever changing. So you can never say we've got it right now because tomorrow something will be different. So we, you know, one of the best things that's come out of that software support line is that I now get to hear everything that goes wrong rather than people not knowing what to do or how to deal with it. There have been people in the past who have just, they must be going to fix this one day and never did anything about it. Definitely don't do that. If you find a problem, ring the hotline if you can't solve it easily, because I need to know about it. So, all right, over to you guys.
David, can I just ask a question about Debt Buster?
You can.
I have a vague recollection that you mentioned that it was going to be available to spending planners.
Yep.
Where are you at with that?
I spent a lot of time about a month ago trying to remove Simply Budgets icons and logos and things from that software. Discovered that it was just impossible. So I went, okay, I've removed most of them and I've put in Spending Planner where I could. So I then created the installer for it and put it up online and had a practice download, and it refused to install because the internet was blocking it, saying this is a dangerous blah, 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 blah. And I tried to solve that problem, and in the end I threw my hands up in the air and said, well, I don't know where to go next. So where I will go next is, if any of you guys want to get access to that, if you were to email, this might be a good idea. Maybe I should just put the Simply Budgets version up there somewhere on the resources center. The deal is it's for you guys. It's not to go to your customers. So it doesn't matter that it's got Simply Budgets all over it. It's for you to use if you have a client who you think you might be able to work with at that level.
Yeah, that's perfect. Because I think Bree offers that service to her clients.
I did give it to Bree. Yeah.
Give them the reports that it produces. So, yeah, it'd be great if we could have that access.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was after I gave it to Bree that I mentioned I'll give it to you all. And then I thought I should make this look more Spending Planners Institute-y.
Yeah.
And that's where it's old software. It was probably written over 10 years ago. So there's absolutely no guarantees for how long it's going to keep going for or whatever.
Yeah.
The intention is that we will actually take it, the concept, and put it into our spending planner software. Would have had it that there already by now if I'd have got my way, but software development is always a slow process.
Yes.
So this will be a band-aid that will fill that gap. So
that's fine.
So long as you understand that what I'm going to put up there in the resources center is outdated, it's old, it's clunky, it's got Simply Budgets written all over it. If you can't install it, I can't help you. It is what it is.
No, that's fine, David. Understood.
All righty. Yeah, I know it because it's been on my list, and that's why I spent quite a lot of time trying to make it look more polished and professional for you. And then when it just went all pear-shaped on me, I just thought, oh, I don't know quite what to do. So,
yeah, no, that's fine. As long as, you know, for however long it works, I'm sure it'll be useful. We don't really care what it looks like.
Right, okay, so there'll be three links. There'll be a link to download and install the software. There'll be a link to a PDF that explains what it's all about and how to use it, and a video that demonstrates the use of it.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, so just absolutely no guarantees. I'm pretty sure you got the message, so it is what it is. Thanks, Marlene, for asking that question.
Okay, thanks.
No worries. Anybody else?
Hi, David. Can I ask for some help?
If you think it'll be helping everybody, it happens absolutely.
Well, yeah, I do.
Hang on a second. Sam, I just muted you accidentally.
I've just unmuted myself. Sorry. We must have done it at the same time.
No, I tried to mute Marlene, but as I clicked, it all moved and I clicked on you instead of her. So.
Oh, no.
Well, you go.
Anyway, I am, as I've mentioned, I think, I have employed, taken on a company that are going to do some videos for me, and they're doing quite a professional testimonial for my budget client who sings my praises all the time.
Yeah.
That's being filmed on Monday morning, so I'm pretty excited about that. So we know what to do with her because it's sort of fairly obvious.
Yeah.
What they've offered me in their package is they're going to do an introduction on me as well, which I'm completely comfortable with because I know me. But what they've also offered to do is they want to do, because they're trying to give me lots of value for my money, they've offered to do 5 short clips of called Sam's Top Budgeting Tips, right? So about 10 or 15 seconds long, which is really good. Now, they've asked me to come up with the ideas, obviously. Now, I can do not have the second cup of coffee and rah, rah, rah and all that, but I think that's obvious. But I've sort of been writing notes about, I want to do it sort of around the spending planners. So one of my, because I've got 5 to think of, one of them is, there's no shame in asking for help. You know, when you're, when you need to lose weight, you go to Weight Watchers. If you need to get fit, you got to think. When your finances are not, there's no shame in asking for help. That's one, not a tip, but just a thing. And then about, I want to address the thing about, which I get asked a lot, how do you feel about taking money off people who haven't got any money? So I've sort of addressed that. You know, you don't say to a doctor, but I'm sick and you're going to fix me and I'm not going to pay you. You know what I mean? So I'm going to do a bit around why it's necessary. Well, you have to pay for this service.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got 5 to fill, and I'm going to put about accountability, about how accountability works. You know, if you're going somewhere every week, then you're probably likely to do it, like Weight Watchers. You go every week, you lose weight. If you don't, you eat like a pig, you know. So I've been there, done that. I speak from experience. Anyway, I've got 2 more things. So I thought I'll ask the spending planners so I've got accountability. There's no shame in asking for help and addressing the fact that we're taking money off people who reckon they've got no money. So I just need 2 more things to fill my thing. So, and this will be spread over. Yeah. So I've got 5 few second videos and it'll be me saying them, but I just fancy, and I keep thinking of things and then forgetting them because I think of them in bed and then I can't remember them when I wake up. So,
all right. Anyway. Well, the chat line's there. So anybody's got a quickie they want to just type into the chat line to help out. The accountability, the accountability one, I'm not sure if this is the same thing or whether it, you could see it as a different one, but I often make the comment that you will never see someone at the Olympic Games get a gold medal who didn't have a coach, a nutritionist, a sports psychologist, an agent, a whole team of people behind them to get the gold medal. Don't get gold medals without having a coach and a team.
Yeah. Are you're happy for me to use that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost the same thing, but maybe you see it as differently, so.
Yeah, no, it's good, because I think it's something that people can relate to. People don't, like you say, the guy on the podium with the gold medal round his neck is not stood there on his own. There's a whole team behind him, so yeah, agreed. Yep. Yeah, no, that's a good one, yeah.
I mean, and you used the word budget. Budget, I was speaking with...
Budget?
Budget.
I'm getting there.
No, I think I like the old Sam, actually.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
I shouldn't have mucked around because now I lost the thought.
Oh, no, sorry.
You used the word budget rather than spending plan. I lost the thought now. I should have just stuck to my program instead of getting all...
Another thing, I'll ask you another question then while you're thinking. Because, you know, all the networking that I do, and because Paula, my budget client, is so vocal about paying her bills and stuff, and she tells everybody how great I am, which is really nice, people know that I'm doing a testimonial with her. So I've asked a few people, because she, as you probably saw from the testimonial she wrote, she called my budget my bloody budget, and, you know, and she's really quite passionate about it. Now, when I do my video, I don't think I should mention my budget. I think I should just pay another budgeting company.
Definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, but I spoke to somebody the other day. Yeah, exactly. And I spoke to somebody the other day that said, no, no, if she wants to say my budget, it's up to her. And I'm going, no, it's up to, I think I should just, she just should say, everyone will know it's my budget. She doesn't have to say the words my budget.
Yeah, I think... I mean, there's truth in that. She can say what she wants, but she can't say what she wants when you're putting it on out as your information. So if she wants to put it on her Facebook or her whatever, she's welcome to do that. But if she's doing it for you and you're going to promote that as part of your business, I think that changes everything.
Yeah, I agree. Even though she did write it in part of the testimonial, that was just her evidence of going from one company to another and being happier with me than the other. But if I'm going to purposely film her saying this, it people won't believe that I didn't put words in her mouth, even though she, you know, I'm not going to.
There's actually another part to it as well, because how would you like it if my budget started putting an advertisement on TV in Adelaide slamming you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I actually, I always go back to that guy that gambled and drank and bet on the horses, and he said he would blow all his money if it wasn't for my budget. So I always think, you know what, there's a space for everyone. There's room for the My Budget clients, and there's room for our clients.
Yep, absolutely. There's plenty of love. I mean, there's 22 million people in this country, 24 million people in Australia, I think it is. And in a couple of weeks' time, there's going to be over 100,000 kids who just finished year 12 who've become the next to get sucked into all of the marketing and spend publicity.
Yeah.
And within the next 5 years, they'll all be broke and on the treadmill for the rest of their life if they don't get help from somebody.
Yeah. And I put in my PowerPoint presentation, I don't know if I told you this, I put an extra slide in, the one that I do at Financial Advisors. And on the left, it says my current clients. And on the left-hand side, it's ones who you would think would need help budgeting, like the single mums and the, you know, the husband left them and all that. And then on the right, I've listed all the clients who you would not think needed budgeting. And it is way longer. It's way longer. I can't fit them all on. So, it's like, empty nesters that want to revamp their kitchen. The loads of stuff. People have got six figures in their bank account that they're still asking for my help. So even though I'm targeting the single mums, it's everybody else that's coming my way, so.
Absolutely. And that's why I keep saying you want to actually educate the people that you're networking with, the professionals that you're hoping will send referrals to, and by saying to them, my ideal client would say, I earn good money, but I can't work out why there's never any left over for me and we always struggling.
That's what excites me about BNI, because you can, as you probably know, you can stand up and say that every week. And all the financial advisors that I speak to say, like, surgeons are particularly bad with their money. None of them have got any savings, yet they all earn $200,000-$300,000 a year.
Yep. I did work with a doctor from Melbourne who was on over $400,000 a year. And every year he had to borrow more on his mortgage to pay his tax, and he was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah, crazy.
Just never, ever assume anything.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Cool. Anyone else got any questions, comments, or whatever before we finish up?
Just before you go, David, that's my fourth one now. I'm writing it down. The fact that those who don't think they need a budget generally do.
Actually, well, okay. I did a survey of the readers on my mailing list probably 15 years ago with my Simply Budgets list. And I asked people a number of questions. One of them was, what income bracket do you fit into? And I had sort of less than 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80. And the top one was over $120,000 a year.
Yeah.
Another question asked them how they feel about their current financial situation, from, you know, just treading water and going nowhere to being totally free and financially independent. And I looked at the percentage of people in each of those income brackets that responded saying they were just treading water. 18% of the people in the under $40,000 a year said they were just treading water.
Okay.
So that means that 82% had a better outcome than that. And then it went from 18 to 15 to 15, back to 18. And the highest one, the over 120, 21% of them said they're just treading water. So that just basically proves what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we've just about done it. It's 2 o'clock or just after, or in Queensland it is anyway. And we do have our clocks right here. South Australia, Sam, I guess it's 1:30. No, it's 2:30. You've got your clock on.
It's 2:32.
Daylight saving. All right. Anybody else quickly? Otherwise, we'll finish up. Hopefully there was something in... Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, Scott. And this is probably just further to the discussion on Facebook, and perhaps it's just something to consider, was the whole idea of, I guess, the amount of resources that we're looking to put into software development. I guess, you know, with yourself and Nick, and whether there's any opportunity down the track for further resources to be put toward that to assist or, you know, reduce the timelines.
I absolutely, we have growing pains, if that's what you're referring to. And as more funds become available, more time and effort will go into that.
Yeah. I mean, I, for one, would be prepared to, you know, even put some, you know, like put some resources into it, if that makes sense. And there may or may not be others that are there, but it was just a discussion that was had that, you know, obviously for mobile platforms, but then just for the general, as software comes on board, obviously at the moment you've got that issue with IBM, but then moving forward, we've potentially got software needs that are there, that the time frame from identifying it to actually implementing it is obviously the resources that are put into that is where we're all going to benefit from that if there's more resources put into it.
Yep. One of the things that I did put on Facebook a couple of days ago to do with that, once this next update goes live, we will be in a position where we can do small changes more often rather than having to, like, someone will give us an idea or tell us about something that's not working properly, and we go, yep, we'll make that change straight away, but you guys don't see it until we get that whole rewrite live. We shouldn't be in that situation after this next one goes live, because we've set it up so that we'll be able to just make one change, little change, and just do one thing at a time. So the timeline will be much shorter from when something's identified as being needed to change to when it actually becomes apparent that it has changed. So,
Cool.
But by all means, send me an email. I'll be happy to talk to you about what it is that you're thinking there, so I can get more clarity around that.
Yeah. Yep, no worries. I better pull the pin. It's past 3 o'clock.
That's all right. There's no rules. We don't have to finish at three, but or two or whatever, half past two. All right. Okay. Well, hopefully that you got something out of that today. There should have been a bit in there for everyone, I think. So go and check out the business centre later on. You'll be able to find that video for yourself. I'll just do a quick check now to see if it has gone there. Not yet. I emailed Kathy about an hour and a half ago, but I'm sure she had other things to do before she got to that. So, but it will be there later on. All righty. Thanks, everyone. Great talking with you. If you haven't booked in for the annual conference, it's not too late, but it's almost too late. Really want you guys to be there. Want to get everybody G'd up and excited. And I want 2018 to be the year that we actually started to really become a force that people out in there in the wider community started to know about.
David?
Yes?
Sorry, it's me again. No. Really? Yeah, no, but just, you know, as we know, do all this networking and I focus on financial planners. I have yet to meet a financial planner who is not excited, and they keep saying to me, are you ready for the boom? Are you ready for the to be busy? Because, you know, it's going to go because of, you know, the our system, but because the banks are cutting, getting more stringent, and they're saying to more youngsters, you know, go away and come back when you've got more money, and go away and come back when you've got a proper budget, and you know, more and more stringent, and all the financial planners are sort of practically saying hallelujah when you walk through the door, because we take it all off them. They love it, absolutely love it.
That's not what they want to do, is it? It's just not what they want to do, but they know it needs to be done.
Yep, they're expected to do it. They don't enjoy it. They don't like it. They don't get paid for it, and they don't go into anywhere near as much detail as we do. And last financial planner I met said that he did it, and he showed me what he did, and it was all like, he was laughing because it was so bobbing. he charged $550 set up and $125 a month for 6 months. And he goes, if I refer him to you, I'm already saving him money. So, yeah, it's good. Yeah, honestly, financial advisors are the way to go, in my opinion.
Yep. I know sort of probably 15 years ago that I spent a lot of time really trying to convince them of that, but they at that stage, they tended to just like put their nose in the air, and it was like, we don't talk budgets, you know, we're the upper, you know, up there somewhere. And I noticed over the last 15 years that has changed to the point where there's still those that are snobby and think that they don't need to talk budgeting. But there's many more nowadays who kind of go, yep, this is where it all starts. This is really important. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right, we've got a long way to go. It's an exciting journey ahead. You guys need to hang in there, get excited, do as much as you can to get the experience and the, you know, the passion and all of that. So, because as it explodes, you want to be on the top of the wave.
I'm ready.
All right, guys. I will put I'll put the chat up on the so that all of the chats are available as well, just in case there's something in there that anybody wants. All right. No, thanks guys. It's been great talking with you again this month. I'll talk to you all next time.
Thanks, David. Bye everyone.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.